From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad. On a week where Eric is melting, he's had a dentist prying in his face, and various other things have been going on, which I won't go into. Anyway, this is Postcard from Pop Brad. I'm back. As I'm back, others have gone. This is going to sound terribly Irish in a moment. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains over here in Slovakia, which is a wonderful place to be, because it is incredibly, how do I put it? It's incredibly sunny, hot, and we're sweltering. And if my younger brother's listening to this programme on his way over, I'll pick you up at the airport tomorrow, maybe. On the other side of the pond, it's Lee Banks.
Well, where have you been? You abandoned me.
Did I?
Yeah, running over the tassels. Yeah, and I'll just let your brother know. Yeah, the chances of you actually being on time to pick him up from the airport tomorrow. Is he flying in today then?
Yeah. Very good. Very good indeed. Anyway, we're back. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boo, and you wonderful folks on RTI, and the amazing amount of people that are listening to us on smartphones. Mm-hmm. I think smartphone is the new transistor radio of the 2012s.
Well, you do. You hold it up against your ear, don't you?
Well, not in my car.
Oh.
Because my car talks to the Bluetooth in my car and it comes out the speakers.
That's what you've been having taken out, isn't it, your Bluetooth?
Yeah, something like that, mate. It has been, shall we say, challenging recently. And all my only advice to any young person listening is try to avoid falling off a motorbike when you're about 19. And if you do happen to fall off, make sure you've got a full-face visor on, which is hard to say with my teeth in the current position they're in, and make sure it's a nice one. Otherwise, you end up with a broken jaw and no teeth.
And the current position of his teeth, ladies and gentlemen, is what he's talking through.
Yes. I look like Jaws off of the James Bond movie. But still. So I haven't been to be able to talk to you since the end of the Olympics.
I know. It's been terrible. I've been here by myself, ladies and gentlemen.
You weren't. You were with Petra last week. I was listening in my car.
I was petrified of her being on, though.
Petrified. Ho. Lee, I was just hinting there. I was listening in my car.
You were listening in your car, were you?
Yes, to you two rabbiting on.
She was very good, I tell you what. She didn't need me.
She's good.
She's very good. I love her.
I did actually text Petra because she's gone on holiday. The reason she's not here this week, boys and girls, is she's on holiday.
Everybody's on holiday.
I know. So I did text her and I said, well done on a really good show. Do you know what she said back?
What?
I've had a good teacher.
So she meant me?
No. Not at all. But there you go. Anyway, I've lost the plot completely now. I know there's loads of messages up there. I'm sorry I haven't got through to them. It's been a hell week at work.
He's only had 3 weeks to do it, ladies and gentlemen.
Stop it. Ooh, I'm going to
You dumped me. You dumped me.
Me?
Yes, you dumped me. You dumped me on the airwaves by myself with only Petra to look after me.
And anyway, boys and girls, if you want to hear some stuff about technology, that will be on Bondi Tunes this week, because I'm on there, and all sorts of other places I've been doing stuff as well. And apparently,
there's lots going on, actually, isn't there?
Yeah, and apparently I'm about to appear in a German film festival.
He's waiting on, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let him be
It's true. It's true.
He's there, be there with his steins.
I'm not going
there. Doing his umpar.
I'm not going there physically, you understand. But I'm going to be...
Get him, would you?
I'm going to be played.
You what?
Going to be played out on a film.
You're going to be played out on a film? That means that, like, demise, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it means
that... played out, you've demised.
It means that...
You're doing a death scene.
Just a minute. It means one of the national TV channels here has commissioned Eric to be the voiceover of a dubbed film into English.
Oh, what part are you playing?
I'm the narrator.
You're the narrator.
Yes.
What's the film called? Hang on, ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing a bit of tabloid journalism here. I'm going to find out if he's Tara Diddley.
It's all about the history of trains and carriages made in Central Europe.
By George, that's going to be a bestseller.
Stop it. No, very interesting.
It is very interesting. There was a brilliant programme on last night about caravans from the 1943 to 1978.
Don't you start. There's caravans here at the minute. All I wish there was a dynamite shop.
What, to blow the caravans up?
Yes.
Well, that's very nice, isn't it? That's a very nice thing to say.
Why?
Well, I've just... Here, ladies and gentlemen, here's the secret. Even Eric doesn't know this. This is as big as his film that I didn't know about. That's about... What's it about? Train carriages.
Yes, how they make them. The history of...
There was a very interesting programme on last night as well that was about how to make a pencil.
What?
You could be... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How it's made.
Are you telling me television has gotten to that low depths now?
I think it's fascinating how you make a pencil.
Yeah.
And how you work things out with them.
Can you honestly tell me the last time you used a pencil?
To work something out?
To do anything?
Scratch me.
Well, don't scratch.
No,
your,
actually,
don't
no.
scratch.
Yes,
your
I can. You know what? I can tell you exactly when the last time I used a pencil.
Mm.
Last Wednesday at about 2:30 in the afternoon, I drew a map
with a pencil or a pen.
With a pencil? No, with a pencil.
All right.
Because then what you do, you go over it with a pen, so it gets this sort of vaguely sort of 3D effect and looks charming. You can put little yellow marks on it and little red marks for where the car should go and things like that. It's lovely. I loved it. I've spent so many hours.
Are you going back to the days before computers now?
I don't go back to the days before computers. Computers were born before me.
Actually, they were. You're right.
Oh, no, exactly, thank you.
You are absolutely, I agree. Anyway, listen, we better get on. There's loads to do.
Oh, we've got a show to do, haven't we?
Yes, it would be a good idea, right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. By the way, if you want to interact, we'll try and get all the messages up to us soon. You can do so via your own radio station. Obviously, there'll be a studio at something. Or you can email studio@rti.fm. Or alternatively, the simple way is to get in touch with us via our Facebook page, simply called Radio. Because we were there first. That's our Facebook page. It's called Radio. And so you're very welcome to get in touch with us there, of which there are thousands and thousands and thousands of other people who are already there as well, which is kind of fun. Thank you very much indeed for being there.
Thank you. Thank you for everybody.
We start with a little bit of a serious section, as we do every week, with the, I have to say, late and great. Because I do think she was late. She is late, and I do think she was great. And that is Winnie Johnson, the lady whose son was murdered in horrendous conditions by those evil pair. Who, Lee, I would rather not mention.
Well, I can't see why you shouldn't mention them.
I don't want to mention them. And let me explain. Winnie Johnson's little boy was killed up in the north of England. Son called Keith. And the two, I nearly said a naughty word, the two evil people that murdered him, well, she claimed she just looked and he was supposed to have murdered him. I think that these people live on promotion. I believe that every time somebody writes about them in a newspaper, does a TV documentary, talks about them on the radio, it flatters their ego beyond belief.
I think... quite feasibly, you're right. I've dealt with these people throughout my career, because at the beginning of my career, that's when it all happened, and throughout the time I've been involved. And certainly, yeah, they are publicity seeking animals. And I use the word animal advisedly. The animal representation groups could attack me for accusing animals of doing what these people did, but they didn't. What's sad about Winnie Johnson is, like you say, she never found. She went to a deathbed, not knowing what had happened to Keith.
But
he's buried on the moor.
Interestingly,
somewhere.
Though, Lee, last week, you actually asked for the two evil people behind Keith's death to actually come out and be honest and say where his body was buried. And sadly, the next day, poor Mrs. Johnson died.
That's what I was going to say. And it is an absolute tragedy. And it brought up this quite horrendous story about somebody who'd been visiting or knew the man who shall remain nameless, although I think we're being a bit silly about that.
No, I don't. Do you know what, mate? I'm genuine. I wish the whole media would create some kind of pseudonym that wasn't him. And I think, do you know what? I think he'd die if he wasn't mentioned.
I think the reason I don't object to what you said. There's no reason to name them except that they are very identifiable as this crime, and this particular crime was one that I've got to say actually I was really surprised at how few people across the world actually knew of their crime. I suppose that's because it happened a long time ago in the 60s. But
I think that depends on where you live, Lee. I mean, if you're in the north of England, I would hazard a guess that it's still very prevalent and a lot of people know about it.
Oh, yeah. But we know about Jeffrey Dahmer. We know about, you know, people like that. We know about Charles Manson. And I put these two in the same ilk of evil people.
And we
know them, yet these people we're talking about, no reflection in any way on them, didn't seem to catch on to what was probably one of the most horrendous crimes in English history. But and Winnie Johnson, the sad thing with Winnie, as I said last week, I knew her. I'd interviewed her, and she actually worked at the Express newspaper offices while I was there. And she was fated. She wasn't a woman of grand sophistication or anything, but she was a woman who had her own demons, probably brought on because of what had happened. But she had that tragic dignity that certain people carry with them, and her whole life was focused on finding her dead son.
And for her, why not? To die, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, for her to die without, and for the nameless ones to actually still have that secret. There's no reason for them to keep.
I don't think it's a secret, Lee. I genuinely think it's their hold over her.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
She's gone.
Yeah.
The other thing that strikes me, knowing what these people did and how regularly they did it. And also, I did very briefly. Here's another horrendous thing that people won't know, but this is to do with the research I have done into this for something I've written. Mm-hmm. I won't name this woman because we're doing a no naming thing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But the lady in this situation was jailed, and she started a torrid affair with one of the prison warders. There's no doubt about that. I've got the facts, I've got the names, everything. She had a torrid affair with one of the wardresses. And this wardress was caught having an affair with this nameless woman and was kicked out of the prison service.
Quite right.
Yeah, absolutely. But what shocked me, and I uncovered this story and actually exposed her for this. And again, I have no qualms about exposing this woman. Mm. And if we were doing naming, I'd name her. She moved to Ashton-under-Lyne, where these people operated, which was just up the road from where I was born, and became a school bus driver.
What?
Yeah, she got a job as a school bus driver. And that's how she made a living. While she was driving school buses, she bought herself a small little terraced house in the centre of one of these old mill houses. Really cute little place, but very tiny.
Mm.
And turned it into, in her own words, a lesbian love nest for Myra when she came out.
Good
grief. Now, all that is quite horrific.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Except this is the killer blow. The little terraced house she bought in Ashton-under-Lyne was absolutely opposite the graveyard where two of this couple's victims were buried.
Jesus. Unbelievable.
They are evil people. They are evil people.
Let's move on, Lee. This is a man I've got so much sympathy for. And I also say, I've got such divided views over this. I'm not sitting on the fence. I am just nervous both ways round. Locked-in syndrome sufferer Tony Nicholson. If you can even visualise a small part of locked-in syndrome. It's horrific. And Tony Nicholson went to court to try and win the right to end his life. He'd had enough. Yeah. If you looked at the guy as a young man, he was, you know, sporty chap, father, would run around the park. He would do all these wonderful sort of things. And he was just stuck in a wheelchair. There was nothing he could do bar him basically blink his eyes. And that's right. And that's how he used to communicate, bless him. And sadly, he's now died, Lee.
Well, he has. And like you say, there are so many bits to this story. The tragedy is he was a civil engineer. He was as tall as me. He was 6'5". And really fit. He used to go skydiving. He lived a really, really extravagant life. I don't mean him financially. I mean in his actions as a civil engineer. And he travelled the world. And then this incredible, awful disease hit him. And it's worse than being in jail. People say it's like being in jail, but it isn't, because there's nothing you can do. Yeah, there is nothing that you can do for yourself. And from being this fit, fantastic, sporting, successful man, he ended up as nothing. All that functioned was his brain.
I know. And sadly, or ironically, he died, you know, a couple of days after the court said that he couldn't have an assisted death.
And I agree. And I think it's amazing and an amazing coincidence that a week after his after this had happened, he was dead from malnutrition.
Funny that. But as I say, the two things that strike me over this case, I can see what Mr. Nicholson was saying. I understand it fully.
Yeah.
I also understand that there are some people who maybe are not of sound mind and body, who maybe make a decision which they may have regretted later, and it's a bit late then. So, you know, that's...
Well, they wouldn't regret it later if they killed themselves.
Well, exactly. So that's my worry over it. But I do think this, Lee, and I'm very proud to say this, I am pleased that Mr. Nicholson is now in a better place where he's not having to suffer the way he did when he was here.
Just very briefly on this subject, though, it is a terrible story, and the personal tragedy in this story is incredible. But there is a fact where you have to ask the question, do you have a right to end your own life? It's your life. And there are ramifications why you shouldn't do. But if you are in the situation that Tony Nicholson was in, why wouldn't? What right has a government to keep you, to force you to stay alive?
Now, I think that was the case. With Mr. Nicholson, he could make the decision.
Yeah.
I think the trouble is that if they make an en masse decision, it could be taken the wrong way. And I think that's what the judge was saying at the time.
I agree, but there could be certain rules set in place for people
that
to,
would need,
you know,
that would need in the UK a change of Parliamentary Act bill. So that's what most people have said.
But, well, what's more important, Parliament or human life?
Well, and I'll throw the other caveat in, Lee. What would you do if it was a dog?
Well, exactly. That's what you would do if it was a dog, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
My dog wasn't crippled. He'd got something wrong with his brain. If he'd have been medicated and put in a doggy hospital, I'm sure he'd have survived. But no, that was it. The dog's useful life was over.
I know. Anyway, we move on into several bits of tragedy. I'm going to throw some tech in a minute, which I just remembered about.
Yeah, yeah.
The director, Tony Scott, has been laid to rest after the Top Gun filmmaker actually committed suicide by jumping off a cliff. It then came out that there was a concern about him suffering from cancer as well.
Well, yeah, but it's now the family have denied that, haven't they?
I know.
It is a strange thing. You know, Tony Scott, brilliant filmmaker, a grand export from Britain to the States, a well-known, respected man. And for him simply to drive up to, I've forgotten the bridge now, but the big bridge in Los Angeles, and simply launch himself off it into oblivion is a phenomenal story. And things were coming out all the time that he was depressed. The family say he wasn't depressed. They got a brain tumour. The family say he got a brain tumour. It's a grand mystery.
It's almost a film. It's almost a film there in there, isn't it? Anyway, let's try and lighten the end of part one up a little bit, because people in America, Lee, what have you just done? You've pulled your plugs out.
I've just pulled the microphone out, ladies and gentlemen. It's just because I'm so excited because Eric's back. Stuck it in the wrong hole now, Eric.
I know you have. I can tell. I can hear myself talking to myself. How ridiculous is that? Now, I can hear you now. Now, people in America, you are going to laugh at this.
Oh, right. Where are we going?
Right, because this week, the UK telecommunications regulator has agreed that the combined forces of Tcom and Orange Mobile, known as Everywhere, which is a crazy name, can start doing 4G telecommunications for mobile traffic in the UK. Way ahead of actually auctioning off the thing, which all their competitors thought would happen. So needless to say, companies like Vodafone and O2 are a bit miffed. And then there becomes another problem.
Yeah.
There's no 4G handsets at the moment. So even if they launch this service, there's nothing to actually use it with.
What's a 4G handset?
Well, a 4G, you know, you've got your normal phone that you have now.
Never asked. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I've asked.
Your fault. The phone that you've got now probably is 3G because you can send and receive emails on it and do all sorts of other lovely things.
I have a new phone, ladies and gentlemen.
What have you got?
I have one of those phones that's in trouble. I don't think it's in trouble now. A Samsung.
Oh, right. Well, they are kind of in trouble. They're having an argument with Apple.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Because they've taken a bit of a bite out of Apple, apparently, haven't they?
You're full of them this week, aren't you?
All sorts.
Actually, you know, the whole of the audience is going to get the pip over you, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but I get to the core of the matter.
Are you picking these out of a special book?
No, just the tree of knowledge.
Yeah, right. So anyway, you've got this service. There's a big bun fight about it. And the problem is there's no handsets. And then comes out the immortal news that the next iPhone is coming out shortly. Yeah, they're bringing out another one for you silly suckers to go and buy. And maybe...
silly what?
Suckers.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. I'm a professional broadcaster, don't you know? And silly suckers, I said it carefully, to go and buy. And this may or may not, because I don't know yet, may or may not be compatible with the 4G system in the UK.
Do we care, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, you know, if you... Take it this way. Let's put everything in that Lee hates. We're currently on a...
Asking Eric questions I hate because he gives you answers that go on for days.
So you're on a train now, Mr. Banks.
I am. I'm pulling
a
train.
Right, you're on a train and you're wanting to watch the cricket on telly.
Two things I hate, ladies and gentlemen, train travel and cricket.
I know. So Mr. Banks has completely lost his marbles and he's going on a train and he wants to watch the cricket.
That's now, because of the movement of the train. You can never find them again. As soon as you come off that table, your marbles are gone forever.
And therefore, he thinks, I know what I'll do. I'll get my phone out and watch it on the telly.
I'm going to watch my phone on the telly now.
Oh, whatever. And the idea is that 4G will give enough bandwidth so you can do this. Then enters another spat between different people who go, well, I don't think it'll work like that. Because the trouble is, everybody's got an opinion about this new 4G announcement in the UK, but there's a fundamental flaw in all their arguments, Lee.
What?
Not one of them's got a handset to try it.
Right.
So you've got all these so-called experts running around going, well, it won't do that because, and then the other experts going, it'll be great because, and then I'm going, but where's the handsets, chaps? Where's the handsets? Sorry?
Where are the handsets?
They haven't been made yet.
They've not made them?
No.
They're silly billies. So what are they going to do?
Launch a network with no phones on it.
Actually, you know, I'll tell you what, that sounds very innovative to me. Like iPhones, isn't it? Have you looked at an iPhone? You can't hear anything.
Very clever. Very good. Very good. But there is one bonus to that, of course.
Yeah?
You will never have any customer complaints.
Well, no, because they couldn't ring.
Right, let's move on to...
Can I just give you a very quick bit of techie information here? This is anecdotal, but techie.
Go on, then.
Old-fashioned technology, right? Like yesterday, on one of my rare sojourns out of the house, I realised I'd left my key. So I texted, right, this is technology, texted Andrea and said, can you hide it under the plant pot for me so I can get back into the house when I come back? She texted me back, dead simple, straightforward. No problem, darling. I'll put it under the plant pot on the kitchen table.
Which reminds me of another anecdotal. If you are in the UK, and again, America is going to find this hysterical. If you listen to BBC local radio via medium wave or AM, you'll find that a lot of them won't be there anymore. The BBC are switching them off.
I know. They banned me as well, you know.
Have they banned you now?
Yeah, they don't like me because I'm too controversial, I've been told.
Is that right?
Yeah, I too controversial.
I think they listen to this programme, you know.
Maybe they should have listened to this programme before they invited me to go on BBC local radio.
Oh, my word. But it was just be aware that they're doing tests at the moment, ready to switch off the entire medium wave BBC local radio network by 2013. Everybody in America now falls on the floor in hysterical laughter. I know.
Does that matter if they switch off the medium wave?
Well, I'm just thinking of people like you with your old-fashioned valve radio with AM on it.
Well, the thing is, if you think about it, they've been going to switch off this AM radio stuff like that, my old radios, and the old radios that he admires as well, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. They were going to switch them off ages ago, and they're still working. It's just another load of propaganda rubbish.
Well, they're actually doing it this time because apparently last week people went to listen to a programme on the radio and all they could hear was it had gone.
I thought you were broadcasting.
No, I was
singing. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that was Dave Lee Travis who used to do that in the 1970s.
What? Do what?
No go one. Yeah, no one likes a sniveller. Sorry, boys and girls, he's a hero of mine. But anyway, no, we can't do it now. I was going to do another silly story. But serious for a moment, if you've got aged people or retired people within your family and they are a bit confused as to why the radio doesn't work, it's probably because the ruddy BBC have turned them off without telling anybody and your mum and dad or grandparents are sitting there wondering if they've lost their marbles when they haven't. Actually, it's down to the BBC just switching off and not... And the annoying thing is they haven't told anybody.
I'm not a grandparent.
You will be one day, maybe.
I will not. I have told my kids. I do not ever want to be a grandparent. How despicable is that? For your kids to mark out the fact that you have reached a dotage age by giving you little pink things and calling them children.
Yeah, I can just imagine you holding the baby. On that happy note, we'll leave part one of Postcard from Pop Brad for this week. We'll be back fast and you can make that milkshake, have a cup of tea or drink a cup of coffee in part two.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.